I'm Aaron.
This is Paul.
This is Wayne.
And I am Andrew.
You're the whole fam damly today.
The whole fam damly. Well, you know, it's because it's the holiday, Paul. You know, it's free comic book day weekend. And so
it's Revenge of the Fifth. It's Cinco de Mayo.
Nothing unites a family more than free comic book day.
I don't know that that's true. Only one of us actually went to a comic shop this weekend, which is sad to admit on a comic book podcast, but
well, on free comic book day, even.
Yeah. Free comic book day being on May the 4th is interesting because I was getting flooded with the event notifications for May the 4th events as well as free comic book day events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful.
It was quite the conjunction.
Well, you know, it's been doing nothing but raining here, and so there was actually a free comic book day thing I wanted to go to, but it was outside, and did not want to go and, you know, jump from tent to tent.
Get your hair wet.
Yeah, well, I spend a lot of time on my hair. I had it all in an updo. You know, I used a round brush.
I used a fork like spaghetti.
That's right. That's right.
I feel like this is a dream Aaron had last night. Worked on his hair.
Yesterday was big day for me in this household because it was May the 4th. It was free comic book day. It was the Kentucky Derby, which I'm a big fan of. Quattro de Mayo. And it was the 3-year anniversary of when we closed on this house out here. In Chesapeake, Virginia. So yes, we closed the house on May the 4th. So it was a big deal. Big deal yesterday.
Today is also Cinco de Mayo Eve.
And now today is the Cinco. It's the day that I don't go to the Mexican restaurant because it will be impossible to get into. Like the one near us has a giant inflatable like donkey in front of it and a tent. And that place is hard to get into on a random Tuesday.
Right.
I can't even imagine trying to get in today.
I went to my Mexican restaurant last night, my local Mexican restaurant last night, to enjoy Cinco de Mayo Eve, and there was not much of a wait at all. It was like 10-minute wait, so it was a good time.
You're like one of those families that has Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve.
Well, it being on a Sunday is rough. Like, you know, if it was on a Friday or Saturday, that's like optimal. But being on
Sunday, Cinco de Mayo is one of those drinking holidays. It's not like you're just like not drinking.
Right. I don't drink a lot, but I'm going to have a margarita or two. So, so I went last night to get that in. So today I can recover and get ready for a new week.
I will be making tacos this evening.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, you mean food?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All
right. All right. I don't know what that's a euphemism for, but I don't want to know. So earlier this week, I have news to share with the gentleman on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. I'll step out.
Airbnb has released what is known as, I think they're calling them the Icons Collection. I don't know if you guys have heard about this.
I have not.
No.
It sounds like a collector's thing, and you collect Airbnb.
Well, you might want to, because they have... So one of them, so they have basically created houses or experiences that are, you know, some of them are like, okay, like spend the night at the Ferrari Museum. Seems pretty cool. You know, you could spend a night in the museums of something. You can stay in Prince's Purple Rain house.
Ooh.
You can get a VIP night with Kevin Hart. But of particular interest for this podcast is one – is that they have recreated the house from the movie Up that you can stay in, literally lifted off of the ground, by construction equipment. We'll lift the house off the ground and you can spend the night in the Up house. Huh. Or
I'm going to go with no on that.
Yeah, I was like, it's cool, except for like being up in the air. There is also a recreation of the X-Mansion from X-Men 97 fully accurate representation of the X-Mansion, including lockers with character costumes, a danger – well, not a real danger room, but like a danger room recreation, Cerebro.
There's like a Sentinel head in the front lawn.
Yeah, Sentinel I saw that on Instagram. Lawn. I thought that was just a goof. I didn't realize that that was actually a thing.
Yeah,
you can actually stay there, and it is actually in Westchester, New York.
Paul posted that, put those pictures in the chat during the week. I didn't realize that that was what it was, though.
And they actually have designed it, like painted it as if it was 2D. So it's everything has. I don't know if you've been to places that have done that. I've been to like a couple of places that have like painted everything as if it was 2D. It's like, you know, the cell shading on everything. It's really cool. So a night or, you know, a stay at the X Mansion includes a new student orientation. A mixology class in Beast's lab.
Nice.
A class in the danger room. Try on Cerebro and find out your mutant superpower. You'll get an official diploma and class photo, and you'll have beignets, you know, because of Gambit, for breakfast the next morning.
Well, so, most important question, how much does this cost?
It shows as only $97 per guest.
That can't
be. But it is a limited time only experience.
Yeah, that seems really low, but I'm also betting there's a lot of rooms there.
Yeah.
It's basically like renting a motel experience. But even then, that seems low.
97's low for
a especially in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, Westchester.
Yeah. Still, it looks
pretty damn awesome.
Hotels have gotten so expensive since COVID, so anyway, crazy. But that sounds like a lot of fun. Like I said, when I saw the reel on Instagram, I just thought that was a goof someone did. I didn't realize that was something you could go visit. That's wild. Yeah,
it's a real thing. And, you know, I mean, Westchester County, New York, is about a 7.5-hour drive from me. So I won't be experiencing it. But it's still a pretty cool idea.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So. We didn't put it on the outline, but I am all caught up on my X-Men 97, gentlemen.
I think I'm a week behind.
Yeah, not to give any spoilers, but I am just constantly amazed every episode I watch that the things they actually do. This is not a show for kids at all.
No, it's not. I love how surprising it is, you know.
Well, it depends on how mature your kids are. Just saying. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's R-rated or anything, but the writing is a lot more grown up than I would have expected.
Mm-hmm. So Aaron, Aaron and Andrew, are you watching X-Men 97?
I started off rewatching the original five
seasons. Oh, that's right. You did it the hard way.
I'm in season 3 of the original 5, so no, I watched the very first episode of 97 before I decided to do that, so I'm not up to date. But go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say there's only 2 more episodes.
It's unfortunate that they didn't do a bigger season.
Well, apparently they are doing a season 2. So
yeah, but I mean, I would have thought Disney Plus animated that I really think that there is a audience for this, and I think they probably understood the quality of what they were doing. I wish they'd gone like 16 episodes, 18 episodes.
Yeah, but I mean
that's okay, whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean it's excellent. Well, I think we'll when it wraps up here in a few weeks, maybe we'll do a debrief on the season, on the first season.
I did not realize that there were 2 episodes left. I thought there was only 1 left.
No, it's a 3-part season finale.
Yeah, I thought we were. I did not realize we had only finished part 1 because I thought the last episode was part 1 of the season finale.
Hmm. Yeah, it was.
I mean, the episode before the one that came out.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. No. So it's. I'm really enjoying it. So we'll talk about it when it wraps up here in a few weeks.
Did you guys see the pictures that I put in the our Instagram chat this morning
about your mail, your mail that you received, or did you go to a store and purchase that?
This was mail ordered, and it was a pre-order.
Yeah.
It is from Todd McFarlane's Superpowers line, The Bug, Blue Beetle's aerial mobile headquarters. I have been so jazzed for this thing. And
are you playing with it right now?
I have it in my hands right now.
Aaron, I saw the other pictures you sent, and unsolicited dick pics are not acceptable.
You know, you signed into the chat, Wayne.
those photos are only available for 24 hours, Wayne. Then they'll scroll out of your feed. Don't worry.
There will be more. My only complaint about it is that the Blue Beetle figure for the line doesn't release until later this month. And I just,
that's annoying.
I really feel like those both should have been released at the same time.
Yeah, they should have,
just come in the box.
Yeah, they should have done an offering with both.
Yeah. I've got the box in my hand. I haven't removed it from the box because I got to wait till Ted Cord is here, to enjoy it all. But I have my Supermobile from the same Todd McFarlane Superpowers line, and I am frequently caught running through the house with it going.
I did not get the Supermobile, but I did get the Batwing.
I've got that too.
I got both of those. Yeah.
And I love them. I love them. The thing that I like about the Bug, and I really, really hard not to open this thing up yet, is it reminds me so much of the Micronauts Astrolab. Kind of a similar thing that, in its shape and form. And I cannot wait to play with this. And I mean, literally play with it. I am going to be running through the house with it going.
I have been very impressed with this Superpowers line, considering I'm not a fan of most McFarlane toys. Uh-huh. McFarlane toys typically have been very, very appearance tied with no playability to them.
Right.
And when you move them, you're afraid you're going to break parts off.
Yeah, snap that arm right off. Yeah,
exactly. And that is not the case on these. These feel like the original Superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They feel much better put together than the other stuff. And I have been anxiously awaiting the arrival of the Bug. And now I just got to get my Ted Cord. And I will be just happier than a puppy with two Peters. That's all I'm saying.
I really think it's probably okay to go ahead and take it out before Ted gets there.
I know. Ted needs to be here to run all of the appropriate.
He's going
to
fly it, Andrew. That's just ridiculous.
Well, you can't have Batman fly it. That's just wrong.
Doesn't the Bug have an AI where it can fly itself?
It does. However, you need to have Ted here to perform all of the safety checks.
I feel like Ted would allow Nightwing to fly it. I would be fine putting my Nightwing figure in there, but not my Batman.
Yeah, Batman's just silly. Nightwing's fine.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, very excited about that.
I had to get over my completionist because when the Superpowers came out, they only came out with five of them. I'm like, I'm going to get them all. These are great. I love them. And then they came out with five more, and then they came out with five more.
There are many of them operating under the Superpowers label that I don't agree with. I'm like,
yeah, they have like a 1987 Batman black suit.
Yeah. And that's not appropriate. That should not fall under the brand. Yeah, they've got a bunch of stuff like that. That I was like, I'm not buying that.
Like Batman Who Laughs. Come on, no, no. Yeah,
they've got gold editions now, and I very much want the Justice Lord Superman though.
Oh yeah,
mostly because I love that costume.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But so, anyway,
yeah, I pick and choose.
It's super cool. I love
Superpowers.
The only vehicle in there that I'm not picking up is the Brainiac vehicle. I just think that looks silly.
I mean, Brainiac is an actual vehicle though. Like that one's it's his skull ship. I mean, that's not usually how he rides in it. He's not usually like sticking his torso out of the skull ship when he's flying through space.
Everything else is to scale, and that one just looks silly. You know, because they've made it more like a motorcycle almost than his giant skull ship.
Yeah, so. It's like the hover platform he comes down on, but the hover platform doesn't look like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So I need to stop looking at these toys, or else I'm going to keep buying shit. Well, let's talk about free stuff. You know, you had already mentioned that it was Free Comic Book Day yesterday, as of this recording. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Andrew went to a comic shop. We picked up the DC digital releases. Uh-huh. And thankfully, Skybound Entertainment sends us preview copies, so we were able to read the Energon universe also.
Well, some of us read it in print, like, you know, a sophisticated person, and some of us read it digitally and stared at a flickering blue screen to read it.
Yeah.
My screen doesn't flicker, and it's not blue when I read it either, Andrew. And you're just an old fuddy-duddy.
Yeah. I mean, it is a
join
blue
us
light.
In the future.
It is a blue spectrum light. It does flicker. It's just at a rate your eyes cannot register.
Before we go into...
Andrew's before science.
That's why there's a refresh. That's why monitors are raked by their refresh rate.
Yes, and the blue light blockers. I know. We know.
Yes, but I read on an iPad.
Still refreshes.
Before we get into... Now I don't even know what I was going to say because Andrew went.
Energon universe.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about an Energon. Well, I know, Wayne, you haven't read it, so.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet. I will.
So, Andrew, I know we read it.
We did.
We'll try to keep it spoiler light for Wayne. What did you think of the Energon universe preview edition?
Well, it basically breaks into three short stories, right, to track with the three Energon, I guess, families. You know, the first was the Transformer story. Then there was the Void Rivals, which, having read No Void Rivals, I kind of glossed over. And then there was the...
But there was a pretty big character in the Void Rivals.
Hot Rod was there, but I don't understand why... I don't understand why he was there or what he was doing or why it was important, because I've read No Void Rivals.
Yeah.
And they're mentioning alien races by name. And I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Springer was in a recent issue of Void Rivals.
Yeah. And then the final one was the G.I. Joe Cobra story. And I got to say, out of the two, it's hard to pick a favorite. The Transformers was great.
The Transformers, I mean, something pretty big happens in the Transformers
one. Huge. Yeah. I'd say two huge things happen in the Transformers. Not spoiling it, but it was great. And then in there's also one big thing that happened in the G.I. Joe section that, again, you know, it was all about Duke recruiting Baroness, trying to recruit Baroness for the team he's putting together. Whereas the Transformers is all about how did Megatron end up being held captive by the snake? Was it Cobra Law?
Yeah, Cobra Law.
Cobra Law. Yeah. So
it's a pretty big book. If you did not get to your comic shop to purchase it for free, it is available for purchase. It is actually not going to be free when it releases this coming week. Now, to be fair. Oh, no, you said you actually bought the print book. So the print book actually has all three stories, you're saying?
Yeah, it was free. It was the free comic book day.
Yeah, they're charging for it next week. They're releasing it as a charged purchase, you know, $3.99 cover price. And it's a hearty book. Like, I mean, it is. The fact that they gave it away, I mean, this much content away for free is kind of surprising, given some of the, you know, most free comic book day books are like 15 pages and then a reprint or something. This is all new original content, takes place in the storylines that if you've been reading the Energon universe, and it sets up what they're saying, you know, at the end of the book, they say, welcome to year two of the Energon universe. And it's like, damn, you know, I guess because they're counting Void Rivals, it technically has been a year since that stuff started. But it sets up some pretty exciting scenarios, and it does literally say to be continued in G.I. Joe. So we know that G.I. Joe title is coming soon.
Yeah, I got to say, I was wondering, not knowing that they were going to sell it next week, I was reading this wondering, like, well, they're obviously going to have to reprint these in respective books, right? Because the stuff that happens, at least in the first and third story, are so big, they got to put that into the main title, I would think.
And they got Ryan Ottley to do the art on the Transformers bit, and it's like, oh, this is so good.
It was great.
I love some Ryan Ottley art. I know he was drawing Spider-Man for a bit. I don't know what he's doing now, but he does a bang up job on those Cobra Law characters.
And whoever was drawing the G.I. Joe is flipping to see. I'd very much enjoy how they draw the Baroness.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, she's not, you know, they got rid of the boob window, so
they gave her reasonable outfits, right?
Yes, they gave her a reasonable outfit. I don't know why you would do that, but that's what they did.
Oh, and I don't think there's two other Joes that show up at the end of this book. I don't think we've seen in the main Duke book, have we?
No.
Yeah. So I was happy to see those two show up.
Yeah, it's definitely I read this and I read the DC books like we talked about, and this was definitely the best of the titles that I read. I would say it is above average for Free Comic Book Day content in general.
I will also say real quick, no one else read, I don't think, but the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Free Comic Book Day book was also quite good.
Yeah, is I picked it up, but I haven't read coming? It yet.
I think it's a preview for what's coming. I honestly have not been reading TMNT recently. You know, I read The Last Ronin and then haven't really read anything after that. So I think so. I think it's setting up.
Yeah. Now,
I mean, did you pick it up in print?
Or
was it available digitally?
It was available digitally.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Oh, yep. You know what? Looking at it, there are titles that are available digitally that I did not realize. So I pre-ordered them because I saw they were on the list, the DC books, but there is the TMNT, which I will have to pick up, and a Conan book as well.
Yeah.
And a Doctor Who book. Okay.
There's also a Flash Gordon. I was being in person. You were four books per person was the limit. So I really wish I'd had another friend to take with me so I could get four more books. But there was also a Flash.
Andrew.
I know. There was a Flash Gordon book that looked good as well.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I haven't read any other Ninja Turtle stuff either, Andrew, outside of I read Last Ronin and I decided I wasn't going for the second one, even though I enjoyed the first.
Right.
It felt like the story was done and I didn't want more of it.
I didn't want them to like beat it to death. Right. I was afraid that's what they're going to do.
You made the right choice, unlike me. So.
But though this is not does not seem, this seems because, you know, Last Ronin's kind of set in the far future. Right. This is more a contemporary TMNT tale set in what I would kind of think of as like the common era. So I recommend picking it up. It's free after all. It's definitely worth $3.99.
Yeah. And I actually I'm looking forward to, you know, they have the upcoming relaunch of Ninja Turtles by Jason Aaron. So. Kind of. I'm curious to see
now. I'm looking what to see who wrote. Has. Now I'm looking to see. This was written by Juni Ba, and the artwork was by Fedope.
I tell you what, Paul. When the relaunch happens, I'll jump in first issue with you because Ninja Turtles is one of those books where I would like to read it, but I feel like there's just too much comic history that I haven't read.
Yeah.
So
yeah, 150 issues, right? So that's why I'm looking forward to the relaunch. Like,
A relaunch is a chance to jump in fresh.
Agreed. So we also, like I said, picked up some DC books. I read, and I'm just going to briefly mention that I read, well, I think I'm the only one who read Barkham Asylum and Barda.
Real quick, I'd like to say this. I was so torn. I was looking at my four books I was picking up. I was staring at Barkham Asylum. It was right on the edge. I didn't pick it up. I'm very interested to hear what you thought about it.
It's very cute. Now, the Barkham Asylum, so these are like titles that are made for younger viewers. The Barda is a book that's intended for like a middle grade or, you know, I think young adult audience is what they said. And it's, you know, it's the, I liked the story of Barda quite a bit. The art I struggled with a little bit. I felt it was just a little too young, and they're kind of going for a manga influence because they're trying to appeal to that young adult audience. But I believe if the story is for Barda, and I'll hop into Barkham Asylum here in a minute, is about obviously Big Barda and her time with the Furies, and it ends with her meeting Scott Free, yeah.
Yeah,
for, you know, in the dungeons of Apocalypse. And given that it's a young adult audience, I think what this is actually going to be is kind of like a young adult love story of how Barda, you know, and Mr. Miracle fell in love, you know, in the fires of Apocalypse. And I was like, wow, that's actually kind of a cool idea. And like I said, the writing I enjoyed. I always love Apocalypse, you know, and stories set on there. It's just, but the art just skewed a little young for me. It really felt like I was visually reading a children's title, despite the fact that they were saying horrible things.
You know, when we were prepping for the show, Paul mentioned that there was a BARDA Free Comic Book Day book. And I was like, man, I didn't see it. Well, I had seen it. I just didn't clue in that it was a BARDA book. But I the artwork turned me off. And so I rejected the free comic download. So that was why I didn't read it. And I went back after you mentioned that there was a BARDA book. I'm like, oh, I did see this and I didn't want it.
Yeah.
Even for free, I did not want
it. Yeah, it's a shame because the art really turned me off of it. And it's written and drawn by the same person, but it's, you know, I don't, because of the art, I won't pick up the book, even though the story interests me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's an interesting period of BARDA's life. Mm-hmm. I have enjoyed previous tales that have, you know, placed her there, but that is, the artwork was just not something I'm into. I understand that that's you know, some people are, and that's great. I think you know, we need stories for everyone.
Absolutely,
but that's just not a me thing.
Yeah, agreed. I also, like I said, I picked up Barkham Asylum, which is a more of a kid centric story. Where the Joker's dog has basically, it's about the Joker's dog and, you know, how he gets arrested and the cops are like, you know, the Gotham City Pound won't admit any supervillain pets anymore, too much of a liability. So they are sending him and his friend, who I think is, it's a cat, Penny the Cat. I think it's Catwoman's cat, maybe, or something like that.
That makes sense.
Penny the Cat to Barkham Asylum. And that's where the preview ends. It's actually a super cute book. Again, not for me. Mm-hmm. Because it is, you know, more of a children's title, but I actually quite enjoyed the little preview of it.
Well, most important question, what's the Joker's dog's name?
His name is Giggles, I think.
I like
Jester. Sorry, Jester. There's
I like
Jester and Chuckles.
Better. Yeah, I like Giggles better. Giggles would have been better.
There's another dog named Chuckles, but he's more of a serious dog. He doesn't get arrested, but I'm assuming he'll come back into play at some point.
So do we see any of the hero dogs show up in this issue, or is that all going to be in the main series?
I'm assuming that'll be in the main series. And I don't know if it's a series or a graphic novel. But yeah, we really only see Joker. We only see the Joker's dog in this issue.
You know, Barkham Asylum reminds me of driving down Interstate 45 down into Huntsville, you know, when I was a boy. And, you know, I noticed that there were horses at the Huntsville State Penitentiary. And I asked my dad, why are there horses at the prison? And Dad said, they're bad horses.
That's funny.
And so for the longest time, I thought there was some sort of criminal justice system for horses.
For horses. Barkham Asylum. Well, and the other book that I read was Absolute Power. I think we all read Absolute Power, which is the prelude to the upcoming big DC summer event. I believe the actual event book, when it comes out, will be written by Mark Waid with art by Dan Mora, which is what's going to pull me into this bastard.
That's right.
Because I will tell you, unlike BARDA, I'm not interested in the concept for this, but Dan Mora art and Mark Waid script, I'm on board for that. But
you know, the writing in this wasn't bad, and you know, the art of course was good, but I just am so tired of Amanda Waller having the same story over and over again. I am not on board for this because I'm just done with Amanda Waller for.
And that's like my issue with it. I'm so tired of Amanda Waller as a character. And this is unfortunately what clearly, you know, I'm reading and enjoying both the Superman titles and the main Batman book. And clearly what's going on in those books is leading up to Absolute Power.
Mm-hmm.
And that frustrates me because it's basically, you know, turning into an Amanda, you know, both of those stories have very little to do with Amanda Waller. And clearly they are leading up to having to do with Amanda Waller. And as a character, I feel like, to your point, Wayne, she's such a one-note character. And I know most villains are, right? It's not like Thanos or Darkseid are terribly different than their iconic representations, but I just don't like Amanda Waller as a character.
Can I just say that the hypersexualization of the Batman failsafe robot really unsettled me in this book?
Pardon me?
The hypersexualization of the Batman failsafe robot in the book.
First, I have to ask, what's a Batman failsafe robot?
That's the Batman failsafe robot that's in it, the one on the first page.
I haven't read the book.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
Batman has kind of like Batman has a this robot called Failsafe, an AI robot that if Batman ever kills, Failsafe gets activated to basically take him down.
Whoa.
And take over for him. And what? So yeah, what has happened is Batman was framed for killing the Penguin, and Failsafe activated and just like demolished the Bat family, and has now taken, or at some point will be taking over Gotham, leading up to this story.
I gotta say, talk about building your own doom, being the architect of your own downfall.
It's Batman. That's what he does.
So the armor is designed like it's thigh high boots. And there is a panel that makes it look like a bikini brief.
Or a pubic hair, Aaron.
I mean, I didn't realize that, you know, the failsafe armor had been designed with so much sex in mind.
I didn't even think about it until you said something.
Disturbing to me. And I just feel like it. I mean, look at where it is on the page, on the front page. The genital area is dead center in the frame, and I'm just like, what are we doing here? I mean, it's such a BDSM costume.
See, I saw something else out of that, Aaron. You see, there's the two little ovals above it that look kind of like eyes. That looks like a big smiling, grinning mouth.
Yeah, those are sex ports. Those are glory holes is what those are. They're bat glory holes. I found it very disturbing. But you know, that said, I thought, you know, I generally get annoyed with Marvel and DC's propensity to use Free Comic Book Day to pimp their big event that's coming up in the summer. I thought this worked really well. It gave you all the backstory you need to understand what absolute power is all about. And yes, I agree. I myself am fed up with Amanda Waller. But I will say that, you know, while I never seek Amanda Waller out, I've never really been a fan of like Suicide Squad. What I have enjoyed are the stories that she's been involved in that I have caught over the last year or so, like, you know, when she was on Earth 3, I think, which Earth was that
it was Earth 3.
Ultraman.
Yeah, because they actually reference it, that she was left on Earth 3 and was brought back by the Council of Brainiacs, essentially.
Yeah, I just very, very much enjoyed that story. And I like what this is promising. I've even enjoyed, you know, while I've not been a big fan of what they've been doing in Action Comics with the backup stories, I did enjoy the Dreamer backup story where Waller was recruiting her. And so seeing her in the pages here, also enjoyable. So I'm kind of interested in the absolute power, and I'm encouraged that Mark Waid's writing it. I love that Dan Moore is drawing it. So I'll be in for it at least the first issue. But I thought this was a nice way to pull all those pieces together, particularly the pieces that I haven't read and that I'm not going to read. So yeah. I thought it did its job.
Which actually, I made a reference to Amanda. You know, the book talks about Earth 3 and the Council of Brainiacs. Correction, that actually happens in the Superman House of Brainiac special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So spoiler warning, you know, at the end of Dark Crisis, Amanda Waller is talking to this wall of like you know, super bright beings. I think they're called the Council of Light that she's taking orders from. And, you know, they've kind of been interspersed throughout the, you know, every time you see Amanda Waller, she's talking to this Council of Light. And, you know, they make reference to the War on Earth 3 storyline. And they've saved her from Earth 3, brought her back to Earth 0. And you find out in the House of Brainiac special that it is actually a council of Brainiacs, you know, so which you, if you've been reading the House of Brainiac storyline, you can see that they have like every iteration of Brainiac. And so I think it's definitely leading into what we're seeing in Absolute Power, is kind of the culmination of multiple storyline threads that I've enjoyed separately. That's one of the things that's drawing me to the story and, you know, as a whole, but Amanda Waller, but we'll see. I'm hopefully optimistic.
I just got to say, anytime in your life you are taking orders from a wall of screens where you can't see who's on the other side, yeah.
It never ends well. Yeah.
That's true. You're usually not on the right side of the issue, and it doesn't usually end well.
Now, I will say the thing that I think DC missed the boat on, and don't get me wrong, like I said, I found things to enjoy in Arkham Asylum and Barda. But every DC book I read this week featured an ad for The Boy Wonder, which is a new 5-issue series from DC Black Label about Damian that starts next week. And I feel like I would have really liked to have seen a preview of that book, because I really loved the ad that they featured in all their books. And I'm like, what is this book about? Tell me more. But I guess they're just going to have to make me buy it.
It's about Damian Wayne, so it's I'm not about, buying yeah. it.
I'm just going to have to read the preview pages, I guess, on Comixology. But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued about that one. But Wayne and I, you know, I just talked about the House of Brainiac special. We read it's House of Brainiac issue 2.5. So it's a one-off special, Superman House of Brainiac, that features three stories. One about the backstory of Zarnia, one about Bibbo and kind of dealing with the xenophobia that's going on in Metropolis right now, very anti-aliens. And then the third story is the one that I already talked about with Amanda Waller and the Council of Brainiacs.
Yeah, so out of the three stories, the first one I thought did give a little interesting backstory to how he got the city he did off of Zarnia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. The Amanda Waller one was another Amanda Waller, but at least there was a give in it. But for me, I just loved that middle story. The story of Bibbo running the campaign offices
mm-hmm.
for Perry White, but only until noon. And at noon, it becomes a bar again.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm reading it, I keep thinking, why isn't Bibbo running for mayor?
Maybe like, that's what we're building to.
Bibbo has the charisma where Perry White is just failing in this campaign left and right. I feel like Bibbo would be able to step in and actually get votes against. He's going against a blowhard that wants to, you know, yell people down. That's Bibbo.
Yeah.
Put Bibbo against him.
Maybe that's what they're building to. You know, I feel like this book, yeah, and Aaron, did you purchase it? I know you didn't read it, but did
I
you
bought
purchase
it, but I haven't read it, yeah.
I feel like if you're reading House of Brainiac, it's a pretty vital, not the Bibbo story, even though the Bibbo story is well done and interesting, I feel like the first and third are pretty vital components of the House of Brainiac storyline. Understanding the history of Zarnia and, you know, how Brainiac came into possession of one of the Zarnian cities and the people in that city and that kind of thing, I thought was actually really interesting. And then, of course, the third story is pretty significant as it relates to this build up to Absolute Power. So, I mean, it's a pretty meaty book. It's 42 yeah. digital pages.
As much as I love that middle story and I love seeing like an alien child watching all of this and seeing somebody change their mind, I will fully admit it is very thinly, you know, aimed at American politics right now.
Oh yeah, it is very much a political allegory for current politics, and
but you know, so
depending on your feelings there, you may or may not enjoy that middle story.
As much as that tends to annoy me, I feel like it works here with these characters and the situation they're in. You know, it doesn't bother me the way sometimes that does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I recommend it. If you're reading House of Brainiac, it's a good story, and I usually have a rule when it comes to specials and annuals, is that I'll pick them up if they are written by the same writer as the current book or the, you know, the storyline that they're in. And so, you know, the Superman one has multiple writers, but Joshua Williamson writes a good portion of it. Unfortunately, I picked up the Nightwing annual before realizing it's not written by Tom Taylor. So that one didn't get read this week, but I will read it. I just haven't yet. But the House of Brainiac one was definitely worth the read. But does it hold a candle to the big new release this week?
You mean
Marvel's?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You go first.
No, I know
you've been very excited for this book. I want you to go first.
I just want to say earlier this week, I notified the guys that there was a terrible, terrible write-up that I found the worst, most stupid ad copy for a Marvel comic I had ever read. And by unanimous request of my fellow hosts, I will read you that ad copy right now. The bloodiest Marvel event ever. The skies have gone dark. The sun hiding its face from the carnage to come. The children of the night, the vampires, have risen from the dark and hidden places of the world as one to drown the Marvel universe in blood. Earth.
And that.
Go ahead.
And that's why we all bought it, because Aaron sold us on it.
Yeah. It goes on. It's a terrible, terrible bit of ad copy.
I think it's an amazing bit of ad copy. I read that and I was like, I'm in. I gotta, because you know, at the end, the part you didn't read, it says join the Avengers, Blade, Bloodline, Spider-Man, Hunter's Moon, Tigra, Doctor Strange, and Clea as the Dance of Death begins in Blood Hunt number one.
The Dance of Death.
I was so interested in this. I both bought the first issue and picked up the free Comic Book Day version.
Well, you guys will have to tell me about it, because I did not pick it up because I thought that it sounded just terrible.
Well, number one, you should pick it up. Number two, I loved how they used the Dark Force to explain, why the world goes dark. I've always been interested in the Dark Force ever since Moonstone and Shroud and Cloak and all those guys. And I love to see it involved in such a kind of key way to set the stage for this book.
I love this book. It read very much like, for me, it read very much like one of those Tom Taylor, alternate universe books like Injustice or Deceased. It read a lot like that to me, because for what it's worth, there's no possible way that some type of continuity or something isn't reset by the end of this book. I mean, Aaron doesn't care, and the rest of us read it. I mean, Thor literally gets stabbed through the middle of his head in this book. Like, the Avengers pretty much all die violent deaths.
No, I'm reading this as an alternate. I know they don't bill it as such, but I'm reading this as an alternate history story. Like, you know, this is not canon, I am sure.
I mean, it's crossing over into all the Marvel books. So
if something's going to happen, you know, it's not going to stay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they'll become vampires, and then when they're undone, they're magically healed or something like that. But
there'll be a spell that resets things to before the events happen, so they're able to stop it before it happens. I don't
know. Yeah. Something like that will happen. But regardless, I actually just really enjoyed this book.
There's only one thing I didn't like about this, about the purchase copy. I felt like the names for the Blood Coven were hackneyed and a little bad. I didn't care for the names of the ultra vampires. that showed up to fight the Avengers. I thought you could do better. I also didn't like how they essentially introduced them and their powers by monologuing during the fight.
Yeah, it was very much like the introduction of these super vampires kind of felt like Thanos and the Black Order.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, and maybe that's, I mean, clearly they're taking inspiration for that.
Well, I'm not going to spoil the twist of the ending, but I enjoyed everything else. Besides that one complaint, I enjoyed everything else about the book. And if you do pick up the free Comic Book Day version in a week or so when it comes out, you do it kind of focuses on Blade's daughter and Dracula shows up. So if you're wondering, if you read Blood Hunt number one, you're like, huh, I wonder what Dracula is doing in all this. Just flip over to pick up the free Comic Book Day version.
Interesting. So the free Comic Book Day is a completely different book than the.
It is. Huh. And I was worried about that when I was standing in line staring at the rack trying to figure out what for I was picking. I was like, but what if it's the same as what I'm going to buy? What if it's just like some of the same pages? But no, all the pages in the free Comic Book Day print version are different than what is in the purchased version.
Let's check that out. So, Wayne, what did you think of Blood Hunt number one? Or you haven't read it yet?
Oh, no, I haven't read it yet. I bought it, but I haven't read it.
Sorry. We just spoiled it for you. But no,
Andrew very carefully did not say whatever the twist is on the last page.
It is. Fair. It is. It's. I think it was Paul who might have spilled the beans about Thor getting.
I did. but there, other things happen in this book for sure. I thought the art was great. Yeah, I thought the writing was well done.
The fights were good.
Yeah. It's. I'm on board. I'm not picking up the tie-ins.
I'm not picking up all the tie-ins, but I'll pick up some.
But I really enjoyed this first issue. And Aaron, I have you to thank.
Oh, dear God.
Thank you, Aaron. I might have gone right past this one if you hadn't pointed out.
Yeah.
But, like, sorry. You know, when you talk about the tie-ins, like, there's a Union Jack, you know, they've got the different, like, covers and a little blurb about them. The one with Union Jack up against the Ripper. I'm in for that one for sure.
Yeah, there's a couple of that intrigue me. I'll check out preview pages. I probably won't actually just acquire them.
And for those who like Midnight Suns, according to this blurb, the original team reunites to take down one of their own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do want to, I'm going to, again, Midnight Suns, since whenever they revisit it, they usually do it poorly, but hopefully, yes. You know, knock on wood, this will be worth it. So this is very much like if you took Deceased. No. What was the DC vampire? I think it was just called DC versus Vampires. Or
correct. Yes.
Yeah. If you took it like a Tom Taylor, you know, book like that from DC, mixed it with a little bit of Infinity from Jonathan Hickman. That's what Blood Hunt is, you know, because you've got your Black Order. I think they're called the Blood Coven.
Blood Coven, this. Yep.
And you've got twists and turns and violent character deaths like you would in a Tom Taylor alternate universe book. If you just mesh those together, that's what Blood Hunt number one was. And that was great. I was like, whoa, this is way better than I thought it was going to be, you know, for a Blade book. But. So I'm on board. Me and Andrew, we're on board.
And it's bigger than a Blade book. You know, Blade's a character, obviously, because whenever vampires show up in DC, of course, they're going to be like, hey, Blade, what's going on with the vampires, right? But to me, this is much bigger than just a Blade book because, you know, you've got the Avengers, you got Spider-Man, you got the Fantastic Four. You've got it's a big cast in this book.
Well, guys, I don't mean to change the subject.
Okay.
But there is a cosmic vigilante who metes out justice across the spaceways, bringing vengeance to those who prey upon the defenseless. They call him Space Ghost.
Doesn't he have a talk show?
He does. Okay. Coast to Coast.
I think this is a prequel to the right. Talk show.
That's right. So Space Ghost, number one, licensed from Warner Brothers to Dynamite Entertainment, came out this week, written by David Paposa and drawn by Jonathan Lau. Paul and I both read it. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't think anyone else did. Was it just us two?
Yeah, I think so.
I wanted to read it, but it was not on the shelf.
So, Paul, I'm eager to hear what you thought.
I was not in, you know, I picked up the book because I love Space Ghost. Not that, just for full disclosure, not that I actually remember, you know, much about the original cartoon. I know I watched it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was throwaway entertainment and I liked the character design and all that stuff. But you know, and that's what's stuck with me is the feeling of Space Ghost more so than the actual cartoon continuity. And of course, you know, he became more of a humorous character with the Coast to Coast talk show.
Adult Swim.
Yeah. So I wasn't terribly on board with a serious retelling of Space Ghost. Sometimes those things just don't connect well, like most recently Thundercats, which I think is also from Dynamite Entertainment. But I really liked this book.
Same.
I really genuinely liked, you know, what they did with Blip and some of the characters. I was like, okay, I'm on. This is an exciting story with great art. And you know, even though they kept the classic Space Ghost design, they didn't really do any modern retooling of it. They kept everything. I'm on board. I mean, I'm definitely intrigued to read more of this.
I was not a big fan of DC Comics' recent stab at Space Ghost. It just really did not connect with me. But this one did, despite I felt some issues with the artwork.
The artwork. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I like it in general.
Well, and there are some elements of the art that tell me the artist is a little amateurish in some certain respects, like the profile shots of certain characters and the way he handles the eye movements, just demonstrated, you know, someone who's a little immature in their art, which is fine. We all start somewhere, and you know, I thought the artwork worked. Don't get me wrong. Overall, I felt like it did an effective job telling the story in kind of a dynamic, gritty sort of style. I really dug it. I dug that we're getting a real origin story because, you know, in the cartoon, in the original cartoon, not the Adult Swim cartoon, but in the original cartoon, you know, it was never explained why Jan and Jace were there, right? You know, they're just for some reason, Jan and Jace. And they were just, you know, sidekicks to Space Ghost. In this, we get an origin story there. And it is immediately on the heels of the murder of their father. And, you know, there is a moment where, you know, they don't know who Space Ghost is. You know, it's not like Space Ghost is a legend across the spaceways. He is more mysterious. Yeah. And so Jan and Jace don't recognize who he is. The bad guys have kind of heard of him. But overall, I thought this book was terrific. In fact, I read it twice this week. I enjoyed it so much.
Wow. Okay.
I really dug this book. And I think what I really responded to was what a badass Space Ghost is.
Yeah.
I mean, there are just some great shots of him whooping ass. And, you know, where he's, you know, fighting Brock one handed because he's lost one of his gauntlets. I really dug it. And I also enjoyed the autonomy that Jan and Jace both have. They're both effective. You know, I think it's a little crazy that they are so effective immediately following their father's death. But, you know, it's a comic book. You know, based on on a Saturday morning cartoon, I'm going to forgive it some stuff. But I dug this book and I like the mystery that we're laying out there with Blip, because Blip contains all of their father's science. And the only complaint that I have, other than what I said about the artwork, is that Blip is referred to as a chimp at one time. And he is clearly a monkey.
Fair point.
I'm like, that is a monkey. Brother's got a tail.
All right. You know? I'm going to pick this up because I am really curious, especially if it's an origin piece. I never saw the original cartoon.
Oh, it's a lot.
The only thing I've ever seen is the talk show.
Yeah.
I think you would actually quite enjoy this book, Wayne.
Yeah.
I think this is right up your alley.
And I also appreciate that Dynamite does that thing that I think they are so really good at, is including the variant covers in the back of the book. Because I do really appreciate that. Particularly, there is a Michael Cho cover that I think is exquisite at the back of the book. So
I like the Jay Lee one also. So
it is nice. Yeah. No, it's really good. We did not talk about the Savage Sword of Conan Free Comic Book Day book. But there is a new run of Savage Sword of Conan. The license has moved from Marvel to Titan. It is a great big book. It is presented in black and white. It is about 85 pages long each issue for $5. You cannot beat it. And there are a ton of great stories in the book. And the artwork is perfect. So I highly recommend. There's a free Comic Book Day copy out there available digitally. I have also picked up issues 1 and 2 that are currently available online. Terrific book. Highly recommend it.
So. Interesting. Okay.
But Paul.
Yes, sir.
I think we all read issue 1 of Get Fury this week.
I know I did. Did anyone else read issue 1?
I read issue 1.
Oh, okay.
I did not. I'm the only one that didn't.
Oh, okay. Now,
unlike Space Ghost Wayne, I don't think this one is up your alley.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I looked at the preview pages. I looked at who was doing it. I think it is going to be incredibly popular, and it is definitely going to have its fans. And I also think it's a book that's not for me.
Well,
so I didn't pick it up.
You put Garth Ennis on a Nick Fury and Frank Castle book, color me there. I when I saw that this was, original Nick Fury with Garth Ennis, I was like, oh man, I get me the biscuits now, because I'm about to butter them. So, Paul, Andrew, what'd you guys think?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I will say it is a very wordy book, right? It is very much, Garth Ennis has his style evolved over the past, whatever number of years he's been writing comics, but more recently he has taken a bit more of a little bit more of a minimalist stance, a little less Quentin Tarantino-ish. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of, where his career really started to take off. I feel like this is very much old school Garth Ennis, in that you've got a lot of talking. You've got ultra violence. You've got a lot of sick humor. You've got a whole bunch of characters doing unlikable things. And so that's what Get Fury #1 is, where Frank Castle has been tasked with getting Captain, Nick Fury.
Captain Frank
Captain Castle. Castle, Frank Castle.
Yeah, Colonel Fury has been captured by the North Vietnamese and is being marched down the Ho Chi Minh Trail to take him back and torture. And the United States military cannot figure out a way to liberate Fury. And so they have tasked Captain Castle and his team to go and assassinate Fury before he can be interrogated.
I don't think it's going to be his team. I think they're sending Frank by himself.
And maybe that is. I was a little squishy on whether or not the rest of his guys were going to go. But, that's the setup. And there is a holy crap moment at the end of this book. Yeah. That I was like, I guess I should have seen that coming, but I was so focused on the other horrible thing that had just happened that when Ennis doubles down on it and Jason Burroughs, the artist, just shows it in super graphic detail. And there is a moment, where everyone's, sharing their horror over it. I mean, it is just nuts. I had to tag that down for my holy crap moment of the year so far for my list.
If he had just listened to Fury,
Oh, yeah. I mean, shut up, man. Shut up. Nick is being super, you know, explicit. Shut the hell up. But no.
Well, yeah, I love he was like, this isn't a John Wayne film, you know? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just yeah. shut up and survive.
I was deeply entertained by this book. I love the grudging, you know, part of the book is reality show, documentary style confessional, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting the bad guy from the book in present day, kind of narrating the story. And, you know, there's a digital recorder on the table and he's talking about, you know, what happened and his, you know, sort of grudging respect for Frank Castle and Nick Fury. And I really like that device in telling yeah. the story. And, yeah. you know, here's the bad guy who is this. He looks like a nice, gentle old man. And he's telling the story with this wry smile on his face. And I'm like, this is terrible. Yeah, this whole thing is just terrible.
Here you describe that, Aaron. The real question is going to be, how does the bad guy survive when you've got Nick Fury and
exactly
Frank Castle?
Well, the and they, who, they and were, the question that I'm asking is, who's sitting in the room interviewing him?
That's yeah. true. There's yeah. also though a reference in here that Nick Fury and Castle try to assassinate this general prior to the events in, that we're right. reading about now. So they, because he talks about how, you know, Castle and Fury are two, you know, people he faced and, you know, they all walked away. So he's always kept an eye on them, always yeah. been interested in their lives. And especially when Castle and Fury's lives intersect with each other, then he begins telling the story. So did they actually, I was wondering, did they actually put out a series of books detailing this assassination, or is this something that...
I think this is just in the story.
Okay.
Yeah. I really dug it. I can't wait for issue two. I like number one, I love classic Nick Fury.
Yeah.
You know, my objection to, Nick Fury 2 or whatever they call him.
Junior.
Yeah, Nick Fury Jr. is that, you know, we have a Samuel L. Jackson looking Nick Fury that is the son of Nick Fury. So he shuffled Nick Fury off the stage, put him on the moon as the new watcher for a period of time. I really dislike that because I love classic Nick Fury. I love Nick Fury with the Howling Commandos. I like Nick Fury as Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I like Nick Fury as the guy who's pulling all the strings, particularly in the Hickman books. You know, what was it? Secret War? Yeah, I love the stories with him. And it's so nice to be able to see a Vietnam era Nick Fury in this book.
You know, I really enjoyed Get Fury, but I gotta say I enjoyed Blood Hunt number one better.
Ugh. You're killing me with that.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
Yes. You're killing me with the Blood Hunt.
Blood Hunt is the book of the week.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, you know, in terms of books this week, I enjoyed Absolute Power. I really enjoyed Space Ghost, and I really enjoyed Get Fury.
It was gonna be good books. There was nothing yeah. I didn't enjoy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think there was a book I didn't enjoy this week. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Paul, I apologize. I know we were going to talk about the Zorro book, but maybe we can all get caught up for next week.
Yeah, Zorro, yeah. Man of the Dead, finished up this week. So, yes, let's definitely talk about it next week because I feel like it's definitely worth talking about.
Yeah, good deal. Good deal. Well, hey, we want to know what you thought about. Oh, no, wait a minute, Paul. I'm doing it out of order.
I know.
What's coming out next week?
Well, what's coming out next week? Well, from Image Comics and Skybound, we have the Energon Universe one-shot that we just talked about that needs to be picked up if you didn't pick it up on Free Comic Book Day, as well as the newest issue of Transformers, Issue 8. From Marvel, we get a whole slew of tie-ins to Blood Hunt, you know, crossovers throughout their various titles, a couple of miniseries starting from DC. We get the latest issue of Batman, which... you know, continues the Dark Prison storyline leading up to Absolute Power. We also get The Boy Wonder, number one, which I talked about earlier, is a new DC Black Label series about Damian Wayne. And also from Image Comics, we get the latest issue of Geiger as part of the Ghost Machine universe. Mm. And if you did not pick up Hellboy on Free Comic Book Day, they have the Free Comic Book Day issue of Hellboy will be released digitally this coming week as well.
For free.
So, lots of stuff. Yeah, for free.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hellboy is always one of the books I look forward to on Free Comic Book Day, because there have been some really good Free Comic Book Day Hellboy books.
Yeah, I would say that this week's this year's Free Comic Book Day Hellboy is not top tier. There have been other ones. It is, I mean, I will let you read and come to your own decision, but I found it worth reading, but not exceptional.
Ah. Well, hey, we want to know what you thought about this year's Free Comic Book Day. We want to know what you liked, what you didn't like. Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. And if we use your comments on the show, you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media, IOM Geek, on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
Well, guys, all kinds of good comics this week, except for the misguided interpretation of Bloodline.
Blood Hunt.
Whatever it is, it's terrible. Aaron, it's terrible.
So go read Blood Hunt, and we'll talk more about it next week.
See you then.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.